Bubba Wallace here from 2311 Racing. On the track, my car's look is everything. But today, I'm talking about more than just paint schemes. I'm talking about my favorite games at Chumba Casino. Check out exclusives like Stampede Fury and my own King Croc Fury. It's just as wild as my car look in Texas. With over 200 games and new ones weekly, play for free at ChumbaCasino.com. Let's Chumba.
Sponsored by Chumba Casino. No purchase necessary. VGW Group. Void where prohibited by law. 21 plus. Terms and conditions apply.
SportsGrid.com. Betting insights and entertainment at your fingertips 24/7 as our team covers the most important topics in sports wagering. Real-time odds, predictive betting models, expert picks, and more. Want the edge? Then get on the grid. SportsGrid.com.
With the great mayor of Miami, Joe Ranieri, today on C2C, we go to hour number two. We're looking at the standings in baseball. Let's go to the American League West standings and then odds and see where we're at here. Seattle has the lead again by a game and a half over the Astros. The Rangers aren't dead yet at five back. How do you see it shaking out? I thought once the Astros caught them, Joe, that they were going to be on their way, but they fell back.
It feels like it's a race of mediocrity here. I do not trust Seattle, Scotty, in any way, shape, or form, although they probably have the best all-around pitching staff. Can't trust the bats. Houston would be my pick, and the only problem I've got with the Rangers now is, are we really Heaney has got to save the day. They've got DeGrom throwing, and now Scherzer's back on EIL. So, you know, that's the problem. Evaldi can't do it all himself. I think they're in trouble, but it wouldn't shock me if it comes down to the final week of the season between Houston and Texas.
Yeah, I think, you know, when you look at that division, it's amazing to me. They got Ferrell Arena, Randy Arozarena from Tampa. You look at the West odds right now, and it's still Seattle minus -1.25, Astros plus +115. I like that payout for the Astros. I still think the Astros, top to bottom, they got Kikuchi. Top to bottom, I still think they have more talent on both offensively, defensively, and pitching when it's all said and done than Seattle does. But I won't deny, I'm surprised that Seattle has hung this long. Let's look at the National League West standings now and the odds in the National League West. We'll start with the standings. Dodgers by five over the Diamondbacks and Padres, both five back. Like I said earlier, the Diamondbacks have been playing phenomenal baseball, but so have the Padres. And the Padres shored up that bullpen and made it really tough, that bullpen, at the deadline. Did you like the moves that Preller made? And do you believe in the Padres after they basically kicked the Dodgers' ass over the weekend?
I'm all about the Padres. I'm all about the Padres and the Diamondbacks, Scotty, if we're being honest here, because I love the way those teams are built from the lineup to the back ends of the bullpen. The biggest question marks in the West, Scotty, that I have are all with the Dodgers. They're not with Arizona and they're not with the Padres. Like, that's the big question mark in the room. Are they good, the Dodgers? Sure, they've got the best talent, but you know, when is Mookie Betts coming back here? Knock on wood, everything worked out with Freddie Freeman's son, or is at least working out at this point. He joined the team again, but I don't trust that pitching staff in the bottom of the order. So to me, I think they're beatable, and I think Arizona and the Padres are built to beat the Dodgers when it matters most.
Wow, how about Brazil hitting threes from the corner pocket? They're down 42-34 with four left in the second. All right, this just into the Spew newsroom. It appears, do we want to show those West odds real quick? Let's show the West odds. There you go. Dodgers minus a dime. And then look at that, 9-1 Padres, 16-1 Diamondbacks. I might put a shekel on those two just for the fun of it.
Thank you.
I hate the Dodgers.
Exactly.
Anyway,
it's
Yankees,
five games.
Yeah, it is. Five games is nothing. The Yankees-Angels game tonight in the Boogie Down Bronx has been canceled. They've already postponed it due to alleged inclement weather that's coming to the five boroughs. They're saying it is going to pelt rain tonight and flooding and rain. I did go to the Home Depot today, Joe, based on some flooding issues. We've had the other night, we had a storm where we got like, I mean, we got like 3 inches in an hour, and it was just coming down like nobody's business. And I had some in water. I had water coming in through one of my windows, and I was like, so I went out and got sandbags today and new covers for those said windows. I was at Home Depot, a place you'll rarely find me. I'm not Mr. Fix the House Up. I don't really do anything to help anyone ever. But 34C made me go get window covers and sandbags. So I actually bought sandbags, like I'm in, like down by the Mississippi River or something. I'm like putting sandbags out in Hell's Kitchen by the windows. I believe those will also be stolen. My sandbags will be stolen. Someone will steal the sandbag. That's how perverse it is in this city. All right, let's look at tonight's games. We'll start with Arizona and Cleveland in Cleveland, 6:40. Rodriguez against, don't call me, Blake Lively. Speaking of hot,
Lively was really good on his first outing back off the IL there, Scotty. I was pretty impressed with how he threw the ball, but we got the same type of situation. What are we going to get from Eduardo Rodriguez back for the first time? That's the big question, Mark. The Guardians have now lost, what, 3 in a row, which is very unlike them. It feels like this is a spot I want to back the Guardians, but the way these two teams are also hitting, I 8 seemed like a little bit of a low number too, so I wouldn't mind an over in this one either.
I got to tell you, Arizona wins every night. Cincinnati and Miami tonight in South FLA. Lodolo against Meyer with a total of 8. You see the Reds at -150 on the money line. On the run line, you know what to do.
Yeah, no, I mean, let's all be realistic here. We told you earlier, De La Cruz over 1.5 bases, over 0.5 a steal, and you can thank me in the morning. The Reds, once again, will come to play against Miami. And I believe Miami, Scotty, is the major league worst team against left-handed pitching. So I think we're good here backing the Reds.
San Diego and Pittsburgh, Dylan Cease against Falter at PNC at 6:40. And, I'm seeing Pittsburgh as a .150 dog.
Why is nobody talking about Dylan Cease for a Cy Young? The guy is absolutely balling here, Scotty. And everyone bet against him after he threw the no-hitter, saying, oh, it never works out afterwards. Yeah, well, he was lights out the next start, too. So the Padres, to me, with Dylan Cease, he is an ace, a legit ace. But the Pirates are going to need Bailey Falter to show up here tonight to keep him in this game. So I do like the under in this one here, Scotty. I think runs will be hard to come by.
The Giants are on fire right now. Birdsong at D.C. against Gore in our nation's capital. And San Francisco -120. Washington at even money. The total is 9, Joe.
Love the Giants in this one. Mackenzie Gore going the wrong way. He's getting crushed every time he throws. He's running out of gas. I love Birdsong. I think this is a kid that's got a bright future. So I got the Giants with the advantage in the starting pitching and the bullpen. I'll go with the Giants here tonight.
Rodriguez for the Orioles, Basset Hound for the Jays in Toronto tonight. Rodriguez 13-4 with a 3.80 ERA. Baltimore's -1.5. Toronto +126. And the total is 8.5.
Oh, my goodness. I can't think of anything I trust less than Toronto in any way, shape, or form. I'm also going with the over in this one. Baltimore has scored 6 or more runs in 6 of their last 9 games. I don't think that changes here tonight against Toronto and Bassett. I'm going with the over.
All right. Milwaukee and Atlanta in Hot Town. Rhea is pitching for the Brewers at 9-3 against the Elder Statesman, who's 2-4. Milwaukee's +115 dogs, and the total is 9.
Yeah, hot, humid Atlanta night here tonight, Scotty. It would not shock me. I think both of these pitchers can be gotten, so I'm looking at team totals to go over in this one here, Scotty, both for Milwaukee and for Atlanta.
So when we come back, we got a bunch of games to hit. Tampa, St. Louis, Houston, Texas, Twins, Cubs at Wrigley, Boston, Kansas City, Mets, Colorado, White Sox, A's, also Detroit at Seattle, and Philly and the Dodgers again at Chavez Ravine. I told you Kershaw was going tonight. We'll hit the rest of those games. We got a lot going on here. JJ Max, New York.
SportsGrid.com. Betting insights and entertainment at your fingertips 24-7 as our team covers the most important topics in sports wagering. Real-time odds, predictive betting models, expert picks, and more. Want the edge? Then get on the grid. SportsGrid.com.
So, JJ's back. John Jastrzemski, the great New York, New York show on Ringer, the best podcast in the world. JJ, good to see you as always. I was talking about the Mets earlier on the show and how tough I think they are. You know, I'm a Yankee fan. Like, I go Pirates, Yankees, that's my thing. And I don't like the Mets, but I respect them. I think they're tough. I think they got bats. I think they got some level of pitching. And I just don't think you want to run into them in the playoffs as a wild card. That is not a lineup that you're going to have fun pitching to. Do you respect that Mets team? And how dangerous they've started looking in terms of the playoffs.
Well, I think you have to, Scotty, considering they started off the year 0-6. They were double-digit games under the 500 mark, and they played brilliantly in June and kind of put themselves in a position to be in position. Now, I'd be a little concerned about the bats since the All-Star break. They've been very feast or famine. You see them go score 10, 11 runs, and then you see them score one or two runs. They had that terrible series against Anaheim. Give them a lot of credit. They had a fly to St. Louis. Weird travel, bizarre situation, and you get the brilliant game out of Sean Manaea. You're going to Colorado this week. Scotty, with the schedule they have coming up at the end of this month, where they're going to get San Diego, where they're going to get Arizona, you can't mess around with a team like the Colorado Rockies. You got to score consistently in these games, and I think that will be the determining factor in whether or not the Mets are a playoff team. I don't love their rotation. It's just not deep enough. Their bullpen kind of is what it is. Can they do it consistently offensively? Not even to the level they were in June, but close to that. If the answer is yes, I think they're playing playoff baseball.
So I'm seeing the Pirates are seeing this Padre team right now, and they're playing great, and they got that bullpen all locked up at the deadline with moves Preller made. We were just talking, Joe Ranieri and I, about how they're five out now of the division with the Dodgers. They're creeping, and then they're in the thick of the wild card. That's a dangerous baseball team as well.
No question. And look at their schedule, Scotty. They got one of the softest schedules over the final 7 weeks of the year, to the point where I think they can flirt with the idea of chasing down the Dodgers. Now, for what it's worth, I don't think they will. I think the Dodgers will get some guys back. They'll be fine. Remember, Mookie Betts on the horizon in the next few weeks. But you're right. Preller is like a drunken seller at the trade deadline. He's like the Rams. He doesn't care about draft picks. They don't care about picks. He doesn't care about prospects. He trades them every single year. Their bullpen is stacked. I like what they have in the rotation led by Dylan Cease. And you got to figure, with their schedule being as easy as it is, San Diego, I think, slots in to be one of those three as far as wild cards are concerned.
And how do you feel about the Yankees tied with the Orioles, the way they've looked since they got Jazz and they started winning some series? They started playing good ball and taking series back-to-back, the Phillies series. What do you think of the way they're turning the corner?
Scotty, nobody was more down on the Yankees, maybe aside from our pal Mike Carver. But aside from Mike Carver, me, right? Like, they were disastrous for about 7 or 8 weeks. They had one of the worst records in the American League from Father's Day until the end of July. But that Boston Saturday night win, down to their last strike, getting the big game-tying hit from Grisham and winning that game, it kind of has been a springboard for them since. They've won three consecutive series. You mentioned the idea of getting Jazz Chisholm and kind of lengthening out the lineup, and the fact that their young guys are finally giving them a boost. Austin Wells has played really well. Volpe, who was kind of symbolic for the Yankees season as a whole, because when they were going great in April, he was going great. When they stunk up the joint, he stunk up the joint. And since he's been hitting again, down at the bottom of the order, not putting as much pressure on him, all of a sudden the Yankees have taken off. You need guys other than Judge and Soto to go and complement this lineup. But I think the fact that the Yankees survived this nightmarish stretch from June into July, Scotty, I thought the Orioles would be more aggressive at the deadline. I don't love what I've seen from them over the last few weeks. And I kind of think it's there for the taking. I think the Yankees at this point in time are going to find a way to win the American League East, which is something, by the way, I wouldn't have said a month ago. No chance.
When you are doing Ringer and doing New York, New York, what's the hype like on the football now that it's back? We saw the Giants fighting in camp with the Lions, and we've seen the bottom line is all they talk about is Aaron Rodgers when they talk about the Jets. But we've heard all the hype about their defense and that they're going to win the East and that they're a Super Bowl contender and all this other rhetoric. What's the football talk like on New York, New York these days?
Well, Scotty, it feels like deja vu all over again with the Jets, right? Because I wondered if Jet fans, after what happened a year ago, with Rodgers going down, what, four plays into the year, would be able to hype it up going into another year. Well, they've done exactly that, because all of the Jet fans in my life are thinking about a deep run in January. They're thinking about winning the AFC East. And listen, I think on paper, there's a lot to like. I think the offensive line has improved. You mentioned it. There's a lot of talent on the defense, but you got a 41-year-old quarterback. I know he's a first ballot Hall of Famer. Torn Achilles wasn't great 2 years ago. There are questions about Aaron Rodgers. I also think there are bigger questions about their head coach, who I simply don't trust. I'm sorry. You want to tell me Robert Saleh's had Zach Wilson, or is that this guy? He's had that guy. You watch him coach games week in and week out. I'm sorry. So far, he has left a whole lot to be desired. I think the AFC East has a chance to have three playoff teams. I think Buffalo with Josh Allen has the best quarterback in the division. Miami, I think they have the best coach in the division, and they got a whole lot of speed. Listen, nobody's talking about the Dolphins, but I think all three go to the playoffs. A lot of questions with the Jets. Giants flying under the radar. Everyone gushing over Neighbors, gushing over Burns. Total at 6.5, though, Scotty. Listen, yeah. Giants go win 8 games. Dable's going to have to coach his rear end off.
20 seconds. I love your Dolphins. I think they're the sleeper in that East.
I think they can be if they figure out how to replace Christian Wilkins. The offense will be there. Questions about cold weather is going to be there. Can the Dolphins replace Wilkins and Van Ginkel, who was so good for them a year ago?
I've been hearing great things about your golf game, JJ, and not hearing great things about Carver High's performance on the links. I hear you're tearing it up. Keep it up, brother. Always good to see you on Coast to Coast, my man. Keep hitting them straight.
We'll try, and Carver's getting it. Don't you worry. We'll be good. Thanks, Scotty.
SportsGrid.com. Betting insights and entertainment at your fingertips 24/7 as our team covers the most important topics in sports wagering. Real-time odds, predictive betting models, expert picks, and more. Want the edge? Then get on the grid. SportsGrid.com.
We're talking to the mayor of Miami, Joe Ranieri, and we're hitting the rest of these baseball games tonight to bet on. Let's start with Tampa and St. Louis at Busch. You've got Springs against Sonny Gray. Gray 10-6 with a 3.7 ERA. St. Louis is minus -155, and 7.5 is the total.
Yeah, Sonny Gray has kind of been going the wrong way here since before the All-Star break and just after here. He seems to be running out of steam. Remember how good Springs was, Scotty, before he blew his arm out? This guy was a Cy Young, candidate for Tampa. He was unbelievable. Just came off the IL. He's kind of working his way back. It feels like a good spot for an under with the way the Cardinals, and what a schedule for the Cardinals, by the way. They've had to go all over the place in the last 3 days, and now they're in Tampa. I think the under's a good look here.
All right, so I guess they're going with Tyler Mahle for Texas against Valdez in Houston at Globe tonight. Right now, Houston minus -120, 8.5 is the total.
Yeah, boy, oh boy, this feels like, can Texas keep it going? By the way, I think 2-6 now is what Houston is in their last 8 games after being red hot. So they kind of hit a brick wall. They're starting to come back here a little bit. I think you'll agree with me. Texas needs this win. Like, Texas needs to put its foot down and impose themselves here. I think they can get to him. I definitely think they can get to Framber there. And this is, I think, Tyler Molly is making his Rangers debut, Scotty. 15 months he's been gone. He hasn't pitched in 15 months. So who knows what we're going to get from him. Feels like an over, though.
Let's go to the Twins and Cubs at Wrigley, Lopez and Imanaga. And I'm seeing a pick 'em right now, both ways. Lopez is 10-7, Imanaga 8-2. They've both been brilliant. I'm seeing it as a pick 'em.
I like Imanaga over 4.5 strikeouts in this one, Scotty. And I like the Twins to win. And I'll tell you why. This is now the second back-to-back start in which Imanaga has got a 4 days of rest. They're pitching him on every fourth day. That doesn't work in Japan, where he came from, Scotty. They don't work that often, that many innings, and that quickly. So it wouldn't shock me if he leaves a few balls over in the middle of the plate here and these hitters are able to get it. So I like Pablo. I like the better team, which is the Twins.
Wow. So, and you're thinking some home runs too. Maybe Lewis will hit one tonight. Boston and Kansas City, a really good one. Bayo and Lugo at the K. This is a great game. Lugo's been unbelievable, 13-5, but Bayo's 10-5, and he's been just as impressive. Kansas City's minus 130, the favorite. Boston plus 110. 8.5 is the total.
Seth Lugo has been lights out at home, Scotty. He's got a 2.80 ERA, and I think he will certainly keep the Boston hitters off balance a little bit. I mean, they crushed Singer last night, and then the game got away from the Royals. I think this is a little less scoring early on with these two pitchers. I do like Kansas City in the first five. I think they can get the bell quicker than what Boston's going to be able to get to Lugo.
How about Vinny P with a long ball tonight to ring the bell? Oh, past Quintino,
yes,
from the left side against Bayo. All right, let's go to the next game. Mets and Colorado at Coors. Severino against Freeland. Sevy's been great. He's minus -150 favored. The total's 11.5 in the thin air.
Oh, my goodness. Isn't this the spot where we're supposed to take the 1.5 with the home team who has a pitcher on the mound and Kyle Freeland, who, Scotty, I can't understand it. I can't explain it. But Kyle Freeland is a better pitcher at Coors than he is on the road. So I don't get it. But it wouldn't shock me if the Mets win this game but have to do it in epic come-from-behind fashion. I'll take the 1.5 with Colorado.
All right, the White Sox and A's at the Astros. Stripling for the A's. He's miserable, 2-10, but so is Cannon for the Sox, 1-5. They've lost 21 games in a row. Oakland, minus 227, 8.5 is the total.
Scotty, we ain't catching the falling knife in any way, shape, or form with the White Sox. So let's go, A's. Come on. Let's get it done on the run line. Come on.
Yeah. On the run line.
SportsGrid.com. Betting insights and entertainment at your fingertips 24/7 as our team covers the most important topics in sports wagering. Real-time odds, predictive betting models, expert picks, and more. Want the edge? Then get on the grid. SportsGrid.com.
This is The Lion's Share. Brought to you by BetMGM.
And how about their great promotion, the Swing for the Fences free-to-play game? You can play it once a day, play as the batter, pick an area of the strike zone, get a single, double, triple, homer, or flyout, and you can win great prizes. You got to be a BetMGM Sportsbook account holder to get in on it, though, to win the rewards. And those types of rewards are parlay boost tokens, odds boost tokens, single-game parlay boost tokens, bonus spins in eligible casino states, and bonus bets, even. All rewards expire within 24 hours. Carver High wins every day and uses the boost tokens to put it with the golf, and then he makes even more money cashing tickets. We continue with the last two games tonight in baseball with Joe Ranieri, Detroit and Seattle in the Pacific Northwest. Montero for Detroit, he's awful against Castillo, which you would think this would be a Seattle night. They're minus 205, 7.5 the total.
Yeah, and the only way I would look, I wouldn't mind laying it the 1.5 here, Scotty, with Seattle. I think Castillo, we know he's been very, very good at home. It's not exactly a great hitter's ballpark. Detroit without Riley Green is ineffective. They're not going to score a lot of runs. I think Seattle can win this game by margin. It feels like a 5-1 kind of game, and I think that's the way I'd look at it.
And then Philly and the Dodgers, the last one in Chavez Ravine tonight, Sanchez against Clayton Kershaw. Of course, Kershaw has not looked good. Sanchez is 7-7. The Dodgers and Phillies are a pick'em at this point at -110 each. 8.5 is the total.
Yeah, a couple of different ways to look at this one. I don't hate an overlook. I think the bats can actually get going on both sides here. Scotty, I think Philadelphia can definitely get to Clayton Kershaw. And Christopher Sanchez, by the way, has been hit much harder lately. And he's also night and day from pitching at home at Citizens Bank and on the road. So the over 8.5 seems like a pretty decent number to me. I'd like to go over with Freddie Freeman back in it.
All right, let's look at some Major League Baseball win totals here on the Lion's Share, brought to you by BetMGM. The Yankees win total is 97.5. You got 67 wins right now. And the over is even money. The under is -130. And there's 49 games left.
I like the over, Scotty, simply because they're not going to be able to coast at the end of the season, right? They're going to have Baltimore on their tail the entire time. They're going to want to win the American League East and not have to deal with any sort of wild card situation. So I think they're going to be total, you know, pedal to the metal here right down. I think they get over 100 wins. I think that one is easy to me. I expect the Yankees to continue to push here towards the end of the season.
All right, now to the Orioles. There is a 95.5 hanging. And the overs +110, the unders -145. They got 67 wins, same as the Yankees, 49 games left.
Yeah, so Scott, you got to think of it, right? If you like the Yankees to win it, then you probably like Baltimore to stay just under this total. I do like the Yankees to win the American League East, and I think they'll push close to 100 wins, and I think Baltimore might fall a little bit short. Throw in the towel and say, let's just make it to the playoffs and we'll go from there.
Let's go to the Pirates. Their number's 80 and a hook. The over is -110. The under -120. They have 51 games left. And I love that jersey.
76. Yeah, so you need about 25, 26 more games here. They got to win half of their games moving forward. I think the big question mark with this is how much do we believe Pittsburgh is all in on Skeens finishing the year and making a valid push to get the wild card? If you like them to make the playoffs, Scotty, you like the over win total here. I'll say that. That's for sure.
The Braves are at 90 and a hook. The over is -115. The under, same thing. 60 wins, 51 games left for the Bravos.
Wow, this is tough here. Max Fried is back, which is great for them. Chris Sale, knock on wood, has remained healthy. Scotty, Braves have been a team like we've talked about. I can't understand why they're not scoring as many runs as they did last year. Same lineup, same situation. I think Solar getting him back in that lineup was huge. I'm going to make a push for the Braves to go over in this one, Scotty, because I think their best baseball is yet to come.
The Padres is at 87.5. The over's -110. The under -120. 61 wins, 49 games left for the Friars.
Think about how bad they were to start the year, too, Scotty. Remember, they couldn't hit water if they fell out of a boat. Machado was hitting like .125. It was just awful. And then, boy, oh, boy, have they picked it up. They, too, to me, I think they're going to go toe-to-toe and chase the Dodgers right till the end. So you have to go over in this. I don't think they're folding at all with that bullpen.
The Brewers are at 88.5. The over's +110. The under -145. They're at 62 wins with 51 left.
Yeah, and I hate that Central Division. Remember when everyone was talking about the Cubs winning the division before the season started? It was all the Cubs, right? It was the Cubs. Nobody picked the Brewers, and yet here they are with 62 wins and an opportunity to run away with it, which, Scotty, could very well happen, at which point I'm looking at the under on that number there. I don't think they're going to have to push themselves to try to win that division. I think they will regardless.
And the Mariners are at 87.5. The over's minus 120. Yeah. The under minus 110. 59 wins. 49 left.
Yeah, legit no reason for Seattle not to go over. And that's exactly why I'm betting the under. Because I'm fading them down the stretch here, Scotty. There's only so many games you can only score one or two runs in and think that you're going to be a legit contender. So I'm fading the Mariners. I do think it's Texas and Houston at the end of the day in that division.
So what do you think of this USA-Brazil basketball game? It's been really all USA without any difficulty. And mm-hmm. The one thing that I'm surprised about in the game, Joe, is that I saw at the half the domination by the U.S. on the glass. And Brazil was allegedly the best rebounding team in the quarters, but the U.S. has been killing them on the glass.
The physicality, Scotty, the one thing that I noticed, and we talked about it when this game started, we're like, wow, even Embiid has got some hops here out in the starting rotation. And he's usually, you know, takes him an hour and a half to watch 60 minutes. But I got to tell you, they've come out, they're more effort, more physicality, more rebounding. It looks like Brazil is just shocked. They look like a stick in the mud here, and Team USA is running circles around them. So we'll see if that continues in the second half, but totally outmatched thus far.
Yeah, Brazil shooting terrible, 37%,
yeah.
U.S. 58%, and then how about 56% from downtown for the U.S., 34% yep. for Brazil from downtown. How about from the line, 71% for Brazil, 91% from the U.S. So, I mean, they're doing everything better than the Brazilians. Everything, shooting from
yes.
from inside the line, outside the line, from the free throw line. They're dominating yep. all three.
Yeah, yeah, it's really not even close here. I thought Brazil would have a little more success from the perimeter, given the fact that, you know, Team USA hasn't exactly been locked down from outside. But they're not hitting anything here, and they're not getting any second chance opportunities, to your point, Scotty, with the rebound. So they are pretty much one-dimensional at this point, which is not good news.
Yeah, Booker's got 15. He's hit four threes. Embiid's got yeah. 14. He's hit three threes. LeBron's got 12 with nine dimes. And the U.S. up big on Brazil.
SportsGrid.com. Betting insights and entertainment at your fingertips 24-7 as our team covers the most important topics in sports wagering. Real-time odds, predictive betting models, expert picks, and more. Want the edge? Then get on the grid. SportsGrid.com.
All right, we shift gears and talk a little Pain Day NFL football now from camp. So the Lions and Giants got in some training camp joint practice brawls again today. It happened yesterday. It happened again today. Rookie Malik Nabers was in the middle of it today. Brian Burns, who they got from the Panthers in the offseason, would rather that his quarterback, Daniel Jones, wasn't involved in these brawls on the field, but he was. Here's Burns.
I know you're on the other field, but what do you think, or when you hear that, you know, your quarterback was in the middle of one of those scuffles?
Oh, Lord. Daniel got jiggy with it. Daniel was out there with it.
Yeah, he did.
Yeah. I'm going to need him to back up. I'm going to need him to back up. Let his O-line handle that. But, Daniel, he's a competitor, man. He's a fighter, so I don't expect nothing less from him, but I don't need him in that. I don't need him to get hit. Yeah, I need to keep him healthy.
Burns. Getting jiggy with it. That's great. He's got a point, though, Scotty, doesn't he? Like, listen, yeah. Danny Dimes, we appreciate the effort, but, like, Glass Joe, sit this one out, man. Let everyone else get involved.
Do you think he stinks?
Scotty, the problem is I think in the right system with the right players, he can be successful. I think he's a smart quarterback. I think he's more athletic than everybody gives him credit to. But, you know, he's also been set up to fail since he got to the Giants. Has he not? That's the problem.
Yeah, I'm not going to argue with that. I wouldn't argue with it.
So that's the problem with that.
All right,
he is a Duke quarterback.
That is true. Matt Judon explains why he's back on the field for the pass, even without a deal.
No, I got to play. I ain't say nothing about practice. But, I got to go out there and play. I got to play the game. I got to do what I'm contracted and obligated to do so I don't lose no money.
Listen,
I love the honesty.
He's their best player, though. So I think they're messing with the wrong dude. Like, I don't understand how, it boggles my mind how star players on team, like the best player on a team, and you mess with him. Like, just give the guy his money. It's like messing with Wirfs. You knew they had to pay him, and yet they're still sitting there messing with him. I think the Niners have messed with Ayuk. And, I mean, that thing's still hot and bothered today in terms of a trade. I hear the Steelers are back in on it after yesterday they said they were out. I heard today they're back in, but we'll see where he goes. But if I were the Patriots, would you not give him his money? He's their best player on the whole team.
Listen, the one thing you need in a changing franchise, I mean, there's a new face, there's a new sheriff. You're basically starting a new era. You need guys like Judon to be leaders in that locker room, right? And how do you do that? Pay the man. Let him be there. Let him be the guy in that locker room that's the steady force. So I don't get the nickel and diming, especially with him. He's your best defensive player by far. Give him the money.
Yeah, eventually you just have to give him the money. You knew that Love was going to get the money. Just give him the money and just be done with it already. Now, in terms of this trade for Ayuk, you've heard the Pats, the Browns, the Steelers were out, now back in, allegedly. Who do you believe has the inside track to Brandon Ayuk, if anyone?
It feels like this is a big game of, cat and mouse here. Like, what? So 49ers, you really going to let him walk? Is that what you're going to do here, giving him permission to go talk to teams? Maybe the 49ers are hoping the talks don't go anywhere and nobody else is going to be willing to give him the money, at which point, Scotty, I still think there's a good chance he remains with the 49ers. Although the Steelers re-engaging with possible trade talks is very interesting to me. We thought they were out. Nope, they're right back in it, which means they could very well land Ayuk, and how good would that be? For Fields or Russell Wilson. That would be huge.
And for me, because I'm finally going to go to some Steeler games this year and my season tickets. I would love to see Brandon Ayuk on the Steelers. I think the Steelers are going to be better than anybody thinks they are. I think their win total was at like, 8.5, right? Like that they could and if this guy could win 9 again, Tomlin, he's never had a losing season. I think they're tough. They got the two quarterbacks. I think they have it all. Yep. Their problem was up front. They've shored that up. I thought they did that last year in the draft, again this year. So I think their defense is tough. I got to be honest with you. If they got Ayuk, they would be serious, man. Here's Robert
Pickens
Sala,
and Ayuk.
The Jets coach. Can you imagine the Jets coach talking about he's focused on who's at camp, not Hassan Reddick.
When you made the trade, the organization made the trade, did you ever think that you'd be sitting here 2 weeks at the camp and Reddick wouldn't be able to practice?
I guess it doesn't matter what I thought at the time, but reality is he's not here, but there are, like I said, a bunch of guys who are working their tails off, and, Will McDonald, like I said, is getting a lot of reps that he otherwise wouldn't have gotten. And for it, he's been improving it every day.
For you as a coaching staff, not having that hands-on time with him, will that make it harder if it does linger on to kind of prepare for week one? And how do you, accept that challenge or manage that?
We always, there's players come and go all the time in our, unfortunately. You're always having to make adjustments on the fly, but I'll say it again. It's not the easiest position, but the last position that I'm worried about getting caught up to speed.
I mean, honestly, Joe, Hassan Reddick will start the minute he's on that football field.
It's the most Jets thing in the world. You trade for this guy, and what was your plan? To make sure when you were in camp, you were still negotiating with him? Like, what are you doing? You knew he wasn't going to play unless you gave him a new deal. So the minute he gets his deal, he will be inserted no matter what week it is.
Unreal. Yeah, I mean, honestly, all right, so we got a lot more to talk about in terms of the NFL. We've got odds for the most sacks. We'll talk about Jalen Daniels. We'll hear from Jim Harbaugh. We got a lot more football, believe me, you. I mean, it is never ending. Keep rocking on a Tuesday.
SportsGrid.com. Betting insights and entertainment at your fingertips 24/7 as our team covers the most important topics in sports wagering. Real-time odds, predictive betting models, expert picks, and more. Want the edge? Then get on the grid. SportsGrid.com.
So, game 71 USA on Brazil with 8 minutes left in this game. We're talking about the NFL. We got odds to have the most sacks this season on Pain Day. And here we go. TJ Watt, the favorite. And then Parsons, Myles Garrett, Max Crosby, Trey Hendrickson, Hassan Reddick, who we were just talking about, Nick Bosa, and Chris Jones. What do you think, Joe?
There's no way I'm betting against TJ Watt in this spot. And that's his first defense. I know it's chalky, Scotty, but there is no way TJ Watt would not be on my ticket here. Parsons is interesting. I worry a little bit about the injuries on the Cowboys defense. They lost their starting edge rusher as well earlier. But TJ Watt to me is heads and tails in this spot, an opportunity to get that, no problem.
Jaden Daniels will play for the Commanders versus the Jets in Washington's first preseason game. Do you like that or not?
I've said it. I'll say it again. I think Jaden Daniels, when we look back on this in a couple of years, he is going to be the prize pick. He is going to be the pick of the draft, and the Bears are going to wonder how in the world did they go with Caleb Williams and not Jaden Daniels. I think
I
the kid is that good, and I think he's in a good spot, and I think nobody is talking about him, by the way. Everyone's still talking about Caleb Williams. I think just like the Houston quarterback last year, nobody remembered him.
Right.
Yeah, but they can't forget him now, and I think that's Jaden Daniels this year.
Yeah, I thought Stroud was the best quarterback in that draft, and I think I agree with you on Jaden Daniels, to be honest with you. I'll believe it when I see it with the Bears and all their grandiose predictions as well. Jim Harbaugh still denying any wrongdoing while at Michigan. Here's the coach of the Chargers.
Yeah, I do have a comment on that. Never lie, never cheat, never steal. I was raised with that lesson. I have raised my family on that lesson. I have preached that lesson to the teams that I've coached. No one's perfect. If you stumble, you apologize, and you make it right. Today, I do not apologize. I did not participate, was not aware, nor complicit in those said allegations. So for me, it's back to work and attacking with an enthusiasm unknown to mankind.
Listen to this guy.
I love it.
Having a great day, coach.
The only thing he left out is, and why the hell do you guys think I'm back in the NFL? It's the whole reason I'm here, guys. I didn't know anything, but I ain't going to sit there and take heat for it. So you got to love Harbaugh, man. I didn't know anything about it. Sure you didn't, Jim. Sure you did.
Do you think that Sharon Moore gets suspended for a bunch of games?
They're going to have to make an example of somebody, and he's untouchable now. So whoever, you know exactly what's going to happen to you. They're going to make an example, but unfortunately, they're going to be like, oh, well, you can't come back and coach in college. Yeah, okay, I'm good. I'm here in the NFL. I'm good. Yeah, won't be back there anytime soon.
He's nope. got it made in L.A., and they got the new Bolt facility. Here's Jonathan Taylor yep. of the Colts talking about what Indy needs to be working on right about now.
Number one, I think we just have to continue to build on our communication. Second year with everybody being together, so that's a big plus for us. It's an advantage for us, but we also have to make that an advantage for us. So we got to continue to work on our communication, making sure that when we see certain looks, kind of everybody's on that same page and not – you know, hey, are we checking to this? We're checking to that. So I think we'll continue to build on that. But so far, I mean, we've been really building on it. So I'm excited where we're at this point.
I mean, they need to get him going again. You know what I mean? Like, really get him going yep. again, because he's a great player when he's on.
Yep. And there was too much of that contract dispute, everything else going on last year. And it was unfortunate, but if you can keep Richardson healthy and give him a solid running game, I think they're in good shape here. Love the way that team is coached too, Scotty. Love it.
Christian McCaffrey's going to be, I guess, missing several weeks of practice due to a calf strain. So he's going to take off the remainder of camp, which is a drag anyway. Nice little vacation for Christian here at the end of camp.
Yeah, I wouldn't want to see him till like week 7. Like, take your time. We'll see you in week 7 and we're good to go here, Christian. Take your time.
We'll hear from Nick Sirianni next and more NFL skinny on C2C.
Drew McIntyre here from WWE. Wielding the Claymore can be a life of chaos. When I'm not dominating in the ring, Chumba Casino is how this warrior takes a wee break. With hundreds of online social games and new weekly releases, there's always something fresh to try. And those daily boosts, next level. Even my free time feels like Valhalla. So when life feels like a battle, kick up your feet, have some fun, and let's Chumba.
No purchase necessary. VGW Group. Void where prohibited by law. See T's and C's. 21 plus. Sponsored by Chumba Casino.